Focus High School.
Good afternoon. I'm here again. This time to speak about the old city, the social context. Yep. Just to go back in history, the old city developed as the real Hyderabad from about 400 years ago, and a lot of educational institutions, hospitals, libraries were established in this part. Fast forward, post police action. The community, which had a huge majority of Muslims, slowly felt that specifically after Pakistan was formed as a Muslim country, there was very little reason for Muslims to feel confident about their remaining in India as equal citizens. The very fact that this kind of mentality developed, though I should say all effort was made by the government of that time, both central and state government, to see to it that this feeling should not come. But there were a lot of events to which the community related, and as a result, that loss of confidence in the society became a reality, and with that, the ghettoization of the old city started. We started thinking that our world is separate from the other world, which is other side of the river. And as a result, slowly the educational institutions started to collapse. Slowly they started not to deliver the way they were delivering even during the late 50s and early 60s. It just didn't happen overnight. Within the next 10 to 15 years, these institutions started to weaken and lose their social context. We had big schools, Madrasatul Aizza, then we had Mufidul Anam, we had the city college, we had a state library just opposite the river. And then with all that, there was no one seriously willing to promote education in the old city at all. Whatever was thought was that the new city is the place to learn. And since it was not the easiest place to move, we find that at least 80% of the population not being able to avail of the facilities which were available in the new city. So 80% of the population is a big population. And from a politician's perspective, it is the real population. When you have 80% of one community in your control, you think big. So it became a political bastion instead of an educational bastion. People started thinking politically. Politics is not something which an untrained mind should get into. Politics only comes when you understand the problems of people of different strata in society and then form an opinion how to solve them. A person who is not understanding his own situation in society gets into politics, what happens? So we got politicized. And politics came to play a bigger role than education. And slowly, slowly, we saw again that the success of the politicians became a magnet for people to replicate and go the uneducated way to politics. And that was doom. Where the uneducated can flaunt their power, their wealth, their social status in front of educators. There were hundreds of professors living in the old city around 1948, 50, 60. They were known before this political transition as somebody in society. As this political transition took place, they became nobody. So the educated were forgotten, and the uneducated became the real heroes. Democracy, we would say, but at what cost? you would say that monarchy, if it's serving the interests of the people, is much better than a democratic polity where you are seeing exploitation of the masses by a few politicians. That is what Hyderabad became finally. The initiatives which we see now taking place are after two generations, which we see again life coming back to education through the efforts of a lot of individuals who are trying to put their best foot forward to see to it that education revives in the old city in a manner which it was already 60 to 70 years ago. But now the challenge is on two fronts. One, from the side of the community, which spends more money on religious and social occasions, including marriages, and even a small percentage doesn't go for education. So how do we cover the gap? The government schools don't have much to contribute. I will tell the experience of my mother, who was a headmistress in a government school in the old city. When she insisted that the teachers teach the classes and just not come on the first of every month and collect their salaries, she was told by the representatives of the teachers, whose office was in that same building where she was the headmistress, "Madam, why are you asking them to teach? If you pressurize them, you will be transferred to a district. And since you are close to retirement, why don't you want all those hassles for yourself?" Now you can understand what education has become from the side of the state, where a principal, a headmistress, cannot tell the teachers to teach. And that is a crime. So the state is not now taking the responsibility for educating those who don't have the monies to pay for private education, high quality private education. The old city suffers most in this regard. One, the bad habits, social expenditure, religious expenditure, and thirdly, governmental oblivion. So where is the hope now? The hope is again private initiative. And private initiative is something which can cover all these deficiencies if there is a real purpose and a will and a movement, as I had hinted earlier, is started. No good thing came to any community or society except from grassroots movements. Grassroots movements are those movements whose costs are controlled, and the spark which is in the individual is so big that it can cover up for all that shortage of funds. That is the way the creation has been done. That the willpower of an individual, specifically if individuals join together, covers up for the cost to a large extent and can deliver at a level which can at times be better than those models where more money is coming forth. Today's challenge of the old city is this. Are we willing to take from whatever experience we have of good and bad during the last 60, 70 years, and with that experience move forward and create institutions by helping each other, which was also discussed, to deliver quality education to everybody, and as we have it, high quality and accessible education in the old city, in a manner that our children start competing very strongly with schools which are charging fees maybe 5 to 10 times more than what we are doing. Can we do it or not? Will the society we are speaking of respond to us or not? These questions are important. If we have that will to say, yes, we can do it, we'll have to also accept the fact that the society has a will to send their children and support them. I see a very, very clear indication from a lot of people I have met below the poverty line that that intention of sending their children and sending them to institutes who really care for them has increased. People are now willing to come forward. People are now willing to spend a bit. It is our duty now to make them realize that their hard-earned money will not go waste in the name of education. A large number of schools in the old city as well as other places are running only for the sake of showing to parents that their children are being educated. This is going to be a big challenge. Schools which are just showing to children as well as parents that their children are being educated, in reality, that education is not being imparted. So those schools who feel differently, who have that intention that the child's learning is the only way I as an administrator, I as a teacher, I as a principal will individually improve, those kind of schools where self-growth is seen in the growth of each individual student. Self-growth is seen in the eyes of those who have come to learn, not properly clad at times, not properly fed at times. The Haridra Narayan, you can call them. You need to have a heart, you need to have a soul. And education is all about hearts and souls. Money comes later. You can teach under a tree. You can teach anywhere. But you need to evolve as a teacher. And you can't do that individually. You have to do it as a group because the society has become large. The numbers have become great. It's impossible for one individual or two individuals to do that. It requires, again, as I point out, a movement. A lot of things are happening which augur well. It's good, I suppose, that these are, things are happening. One, which I've already mentioned, the inability of the state to provide education. So we cut our minds off it. We can't expect real things from it unless we make it a movement and push them to do it. So expecting anything from the government upfront would be foolishness. Expecting anything upfront from our representatives would be foolishness. We will have to make it a constructive movement towards education, making it primarily the main focus of people's mind in the old city, that education will keep you alive. And for that, you don't need to go forward. Not having education is like not having a life. It's not like having a human life and not having education. It's very difficult to understand things around you and yourself today without taking the steps which modern education has been able to impart, and the growth of the society has been the result of that kind of knowledge which has been imparted and has been developed during the last 100, 150 years. If we are unable to do that, if our children don't know what an atom is, how the proton and neutron are bound in a small, small nucleus with the power that can create an atom bomb. All these things of wonder, if they are not given to the child, I can tell you for sure that child will become anything, a criminal, a terrorist, a politician. I can tell you. Education has to be there. It's only the will of the teachers and the institutes and the managements who are doing it to take it with a religious zeal, because it requires a kind of madness to push education. Because what are you doing? People who are not related to you, you are giving the ideas which you have developed in you through years of thinking to them on a platter. Who wants to give it? Who wants to think on the lines of giving something which has a value which cannot be calculated to someone for free? Who has that? You require to require that madness. I will think for others because thinking about them makes me a human being. That understanding of a human being, when I say it has to come if we want a change in society. Others improve me. I don't improve others. By thinking of others, I get to be what I am. I grow because I think for others. I think about myself, I degenerate and I'm destroyed. That feeling of the self needs to be evolved. It is the self which is selfless. Self it is. Maybe in the poetry of Iqbal, he uses the word khudi for that. He uses the word khudi for that. It's not the ego, but the strength of the human soul. Where he says, khudi ko kar buland itna ki har taqdeer se pehle khuda bande se khud puche bata teri rizaq kya hai. The teacher should get his will done by God. In our context, he should push himself, she should push himself. I should say she more, because they are the real ones. She should push herself to a level where God comes forward and says, so tell me, what should I do to you? How should I fulfill your mission? We have a few people who have come with that mission, have succeeded and are succeeding. I know a few of them. Specifically, if I want to mention, I can mention Minhaj. They have done wonders and are willing to work with everybody for the sake of education and improvement of education in the old city. With these people, with these kind of thoughts, I think nothing is impossible. And we hope a new future would be there for those institutions, educational institutions of the whole city, with the efforts of the society at large, without or with the help of the government or other social groups. Thank you very much. Focus High School.